13 years later. Daphne zipped up the back of Sabrina's gown while she studied herself in a full-length mirror. "Well, that makes it official," Sabrina said. "I'm getting married." "The wedding dress is a big tip-off," her mother said, adjusting the train. "You look like a princess."
"Which one?"
Daphne laughed.
"I don't know. I could go out into the church and bring a few back to compare."
"No ever-afters in the changing room," Sabrina said. She looked at herself in the mirror one more time. The ivory dress seemed to glow in the light. If she didn't know better, she would suspect it was enchanted. "I hope everyone is wearing their disguises. Bradley is still not super comfortable with them, and his folks don't have a clue about the family business."
"Everyone looks like a human,"
Daphne said, "except Hampstead's boys. They brought their rocket packs." Sabrina sighed. "All I need is a bunch of teenage pigs and cows flying around the Church of St. Paul's."
"Nothing is going to ruin this, Sabrina,"
Red said from the doorway. Looking at Red, now a lovely young woman, as close to Sabrina as her own sister, no one would ever know she had a monster living inside her. Apparently, the yoga and meditation were working as well as ever.
"I hope the no ever-afters in the dressing room rule doesn't apply to me."
"Get in here and help me," Sabrina said.
"Are all the guests here?"
Daphne asked, as she took a brush and started combing her sister's hair.
"Baba Yaga is here,"
Red said, as she eyed the bouquet of white roses. "She's wearing a fur coat. At least I think it's a coat. I could have sworn I heard it hiss at me."
"Wow,"
Veronica said. "Uncle Jake made it. Goldie's here with her fiancé, too. Snow and Billy are there with the kids. Wendell and his girlfriend, Bunny. You know, the regular bunch.
Oh, Pinocchio." "Pinocchio? He came? We haven't seen him in a million years,"
Red said. "I saw him. He grew up very nice," Veronica said.
"He's hot," Daphne said.
Everyone looked at her in disbelief.
"What?" she cried defensively. "He is?"
Sabrina nodded. "Anyone else?" No one said anything. Sabrina thought she saw a look pass between her mother and sister.
"There was no way to find him."
"Who?" Sabrina lied.
"You know who I'm talking about."
"I tried," Daphne explained.
"He's just hard to track down. I tried every spell I know."
"Well, I don't want him here anyway," Sabrina said. "He'd just make it all about him and ruin it for me. He'd probably toss eggs at me.
It's for the best."
"Sabrina, you're not thinking about him, are you?" Sabrina hadn't seen him in almost 5 years. She did not want to think about him. She certainly didn't want to talk about him.
"No!"
"Good, because you're marrying Bradley today. You need to be sure," Daphne lectured. "Oh, you're giving me relationship advice? How many boys have you broken up with this year?"
"I break up with them because they are not right for me," Daphne said. "Most of them are too normal."
"Daphne, there's nothing wrong with normal. I love normal. With an office full of ever-afters needing legal help every day, it's nice to go home to something normal." Daphne giggled.
"That's the price you pay for being a fairy tale defense attorney."
There was a knock at the door, and then it opened. Henry entered, smiling and crying at the same time.
"Dad?"
Sabrina asked.
"You look so beautiful," he blubbered.
"He's been like this all day,"
Veronica said, wrapping her arms around her husband's waist.
"I love it."
Sabrina hugged her father too, but Veronica broke them up.
"No tears on the dress," she said,
which made everyone laugh. From the open door, the sounds of a pipe organ floated into the room.
"It's showtime,"
Daphne said, handing Sabrina a bouquet of white roses. Sabrina checked herself one more time in the mirror. She did look as beautiful as a princess. Not all of them, but a few. She took a deep breath and smiled. Today was the start of a new adventure. Bradley was exactly the big, beautiful, grounded thing that she wanted, and together they would build a big, beautiful, grounded life. "Honey," her father said, "it's time."
"I wish Granny were here,"
Sabrina said. Her father intertwined his arm into hers, and together they walked to the back of the church. I'm sure she's watching, wherever she is. She's probably made a big dinner for your grandfather. All kind of weird blue food made from squids and daffodils. They're sitting back, taking it all in. Sabrina smiled at the thought. She shook off her nervousness and took a deep breath. Bradley is a good man. He is kind and loving and sweet and handsome and normal. Oh, so wonderfully normal. He's the kind of man that makes me want to throw off immortality and grow old with him. I need him. He keeps me sane. And then she walked into the church and through a sea of smiles. There were many faces she hadn't seen in 13 years, and new faces she suspected masked more familiar faces. One man sat quietly licking his hand. Ah, the Cowardly Lion. Mr. Swinehart and Mr. Borman. Snow and Charming sitting next to Bunny and her seeing-eye wolf. Even the Scarecrow had made it back from Oz. And there, with his shock of white hair, was Mr. Canis. As she passed, he smiled and said, Relda would be so proud. And on the other side of the church, there were real, honest-to-goodness people, glorious people, who had no clue that they were at a wedding filled with magic. And at the altar was Bradley, blue eyes gleaming. He had shaved his goatee for the day. It was odd to see him without it. She barely recognized him. The minister smiled down at her. Who gives this woman to be married? I do, Henry said, and placed Sabrina's hand into Bradley's. It felt warm and comforting. Henry kissed her cheek and joined his wife and Basil in the front pew. Her brother, who was no baby any longer, standing nearly 6 feet tall, grinned and winked at her. Marriage is a journey, the minister said, a walk down a long, twisting road. Some days the path is clear and bright, and others murky and mysterious. There are many bends in the road and more than a few crossroads. Today, the two of you take that road together, hand in hand, promising to all here and God himself that you will not let go of each other. Before we start, it is customary to ask the congregation to witness this union. I ask those gathered here, do you promise to support this marriage, in good times and bad, to help this couple down their road whenever possible? Sabrina turned to look at the audience, just as they all said, we do. The minister smiled. Very good. It is also customary to ask those gathered if anyone can give cause or reason that this union should not take place. If anyone objects, speak now or forever hold your peace. Sabrina cringed and looked out to the crowd once more. But no one rose. No one spoke. No one threw an egg. He was not there. He was not going to ruin her wedding. So why was she disappointed? Very well, the minister said. I believe the bride and groom have written some vows they would like to share with one. His voice was drowned out by wings flapping like thunder above the crowd. Everyone craned his or her neck to see what the commotion was, but Sabrina didn't have to look. She knew. When Bradley's side of the church gasped and screamed and rose from their seats, she sighed. When Henry and Veronica scowled, and when Daphne bit down on the palm of her hand, Sabrina did not have to look up. It's an angel, the minister said, falling back in shock. Hardly, Sabrina muttered. And then the angel was floating down before her, the light from the stained glass window silhouetting him in color. He was a man, no longer a boy. And he was beautiful. Hello, Stinky, he said with a wink that infuriated Sabrina, but not enough to stop her from grinning.